Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open 1 Corinthians chapter 10 up to us, 10 and 11 if we do it. I pray that your word would be taught clearly this morning with your authority and fearlessly. And I pray your word would speak to each of us. Your word is what grows us up in the faith. And so I pray that your word would speak to us. Your Holy Spirit would teach us and be here with us in power. Thank you, God. To you be the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, this morning as we come to chapter 10, Paul is writing to Corinth, you know that. Church that had a lot of struggles. Remember, they had lawsuits and they had, you know, some immorality with one guy sleeping with his mother, father's wife. Any church that's got lawsuits and factions and some sexual immorality, they had a lot of things to correct. And Paul was writing them item by item and going, come on, this will work. And in these last couple of chapters, he's talked about not eating meat offered to idols. Remember, because in Corinth, they had Aphrodite was one thing where they would worship sexually, but also they had other idols and they would offer an animal to that idol, and then they would go sell the meat in the meat market. And Paul was saying, you know, yeah, you have the freedom to eat that meat. It's just meat. But don't eat that meat if it's going to hurt your brother's conscience, because maybe the fact that it's been offered to an idol will be bothersome to him. So, yeah, we've talked about all that, and we're still talking on that subject of using our liberty wisely. But really what I got out of the chapter as I studied is this. The unbelief of Israel is a warning to us. What causes unbelief? Sin can lead you to unbelief. If you practice sin, we will see this morning, the Bible speaks of this deceitfulness of sin, and it can injure your faith. And so Paul is going to advocate in this letter that they not sin because it imperils their faith. So let's read chapter 10. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, and that they passed through the sea. And they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now, these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drank and drink and began to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Okay. So he says, I want you to learn from Israel's history. They were all baptized into Moses, right? They all came under that cloud. They remember when they came out of Egypt, right? Moses was at the edge of the Red Sea, and the chariots were chasing after him from Egypt. God protected them from Egypt, and Moses lifted up his you know, rod. And what happened? The Red Sea parted dramatically, right? And the people walked on dry ground. And then what happened? The Pharaoh's chariots chased afterwards, and the sea closed and drowned the chariots. Beautiful story. The 10 plagues of Egypt, no longer slaves in Egypt. A picture to us. We used to be slaves to sin. Egypt represents the world, and we were slaves to sin, and it was cruel. But God, through the blood of the Lamb, remember Passover, delivered us out of Egypt. Satan's power was broken over our lives. We were enabled to be baptized in the Red Sea. And now we're new creations on the other side of the Red Sea. We have been baptized. And so they've all been baptized. They had the cloud, and the cloud was leading them. Remember that cloud? And then they all ate the same spiritual food. That food was that manna. Remember the manna that came down every day? And it looked like coriander seed, whatever that is, and tasted like honey. And every day they would gather manna and they would eat it. And we have all been baptized, and we've all eaten of the same food, which is what? The Word of God. So you've been baptized. You're a believer. You have eaten of the Word of God. And then here it says, we all have the same spiritual drink. What is that drink? It's the water of the Holy Spirit. And it says it came from the rock that accompanied them, and the rock was Christ. You see? You know, there was actually a Jewish tradition that rock followed them while they were in the desert for 40 years. So it's actually a rabbinical writing that this little rock would move with them. You know, there's that rock. It's still there. And whether that's true, I have no idea. But Jesus is the rock. And you remember the story when Moses, the people were complaining that they were thirsty, and Moses was told by God, go strike the rock, water will come out. So he strikes the rock, and water comes out, and the people drink. You see, Jesus is that rock. And then later, there's another story later where they're thirsty again, and God says, go speak to the rock, and water will come out. But Moses at that point is tired. He's fed up. He's had enough of these complaining people, and he lets his temper break through. Moses was human. And he takes his stick and he hits the rock twice. Boom, boom. You rebellious people, must we bring you water? And God says, Moses, come here, son. You're not going to enter the promised land. Leadership has responsibility, and you didn't represent me well, Moses. Those are my words. So the picture is very clear. Jesus is God's son, the rock of ages, and he was struck at Calvary. He was crucified. He was put to death for our sins. God made him who had no sin to become our sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ. He put our sins on Jesus, and Jesus was smitten, bruised, beaten in our place. Jesus is that rock. And so now that the rock has been struck, Jesus says in John chapter 7, he says 7:37, he says, if any man believe in me, out of him will flow living water. That's the water. And he's referring to the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is the rock that has been killed once, but we don't need to kill him twice. Well, even Kiki the cat has come to our service this morning. That's my neighbor's cat. So we're growing in numbers here. Okay. So Jesus is the rock that, having been struck once, you don't, it's appointed on man once to die and then the judgment. Now that he has died, there is no more sacrifice for sin. Now we go to the cross and we speak to it. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So we don't have to strike the rock anymore. We speak to the rock. And we say, Jesus, forgive me. I need you. Fill me with the Spirit. And the living water comes to us. You see the picture here? You see the picture? Crossing the Red Sea, eating the manna, and drinking from the wonderful water that comes from the rock. That all happened. And yet, many of them rejected. Which brings the question, you know, were they saved? And once a person is saved, is he always saved? That's something that I'm not going to get into. I believe this. I believe that once you're saved, God will keep you saved, but you have to want to be kept. Your part is to continue in faith. That's our obligation. We have a free will, and we are not robots, and we must make a choice to continue. And the warning here in the next paragraph is about things that would injure your faith or things that would shipwreck your faith. He says in verse 6, he says now about these things that occurred as examples or warnings to us. He says to keep us from doing what they did. And he names them different things. In verses 7 and 8, ladies and gentlemen, he refers to idolatry. You remember Moses? And this is, by the way, this is recorded in Exodus chapter 32, this story. Moses had gone up on the mountain and he got the Ten Commandments. And he came down and he was told that people have sinned. And so he came down, and when he got down, the people had, what had they done while Moses was up there? They said to Aaron, his brother, they said, "Hey, make us a God. We haven't seen Moses. He hasn't been up there. Make us a God." And so he took off their earrings, and Aaron put it into the fire, and he fashioned a calf, a golden calf like they had in Egypt. So the people come down, and they're the golden calf's there, and the people are in pagan revelry. They're dancing, that's getting drunk or whatever. They were in revelry, meaning the immorality. Let's have sex, let's party, let's golden calf, come on. And Moses comes down and he breaks the Ten Commandments. He breaks the tablets, throws them down, breaks them both. And he rebukes the people. And he takes the golden calf and he burns it, making it into powder, puts it into the water, makes them drink it. And he has the Levites kill the worst offenders, and 23,000 are killed. That story is in Exodus 32. You can read it on your own. So that's the breaking of the law, and that's the going back to idolatry. You see, they rejected Jehovah, and they worshiped a cow. We don't want to do that. And then the next story that Paul uses is in verse 9. It's a separate story. It's where they were, the snakes that came, the Lord, they were testing God by complaining, and they were killed by snakes. That story you will find in Numbers chapter 21. You can, again, read it on your own. The people were complaining against Moses. Moses, we're sick of this food. Oh, Moses. It wasn't easy to be Moses. It's interesting, if you go back and read the story, what Moses would say to God, he'd say, "God, your people," and the Lord would go, "No, Moses, they're your people." Nobody wanted them. It's kind of a joke. But Moses had a rough day. They were always complaining. And by the way, if you complain against the leader, sometimes you're actually complaining against God. And they were saying, "Moses, we don't like this situation. The food's not good. We need to be careful about what we complain about. We don't like meeting on the lawn. We're just trying to follow the Lord here, folks. We need to realize that he's going to take us through things. And we need to be careful lest we complain and grumble." And so God sent snakes, and the snakes bit the people. Ah! Snake bit them. And some of them died. They were dying. And God, in his mercy, said, "Make a bronze pole." Bronze is a metal that symbolizes judgment. "Make a bronze pole and hold up with a bronze snake on it. And whoever looks at that snake, they'll get better." And that bronze snake. So all these people that got bit, oh, they looked and they got healed. They go, "Oh, I'm healed." And Jesus said in John chapter 3, he said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life." And so, you see, we were all bitten by sin. Ah, I got the poison bite of sin, Satan, sin, the snake. But Jesus died for me. "Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God." Ah, I'm healed. My sin is gone. Satan's power is defeated. The Son of God crushes, Genesis says, the head of the snake. And he crushed the head of the snake. Death, where is thy victory? Death, where is thy sting? Christ is risen from the dead. And so that's the second picture. And then thirdly, it says in verse 10, "Do not grumble," and they were killed by the destroying angel. That's a third story. That is the story of Korah in Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, they went up to Moses and they said, feel free to move anywhere comfortable. If you're getting the sun. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, they went and they said, "Moses, how come you and Aaron are acting like you're better than we are? Hey, I'm also from the tribe of Levi. Why? Who put Aaron above me?" Korah said, "I have just as much right, just as much power." And Moses get on his face and, "Oh God, tell me what to do," in humility. And God spoke, and he had Korah, Dathan, and Abiram and their family gather And guess what? The earth opened up and swallowed them. Wow. And then there were 250 others that were associated with them, and fire came down and got the 250. And then the people complained, Moses, you killed Korah. Moses, you did it. And God sent a plague and killed 14,700 people. You see what one sin can do? You see what one Korah can do? And this is recorded in Scripture. And these things are summarized rather neatly in one paragraph by Paul. He says, look, they came across the Red Sea. They were eating the manna. They were drinking the, you know, the water from the rock. But look what they did. That means we are accountable for our choices. Now, this is what I believe. If you complain one time, you're not going to lose your salvation. If you are sexually impure, you're not going to lose your salvation. I don't want you to do those things, but those things don't cost you your salvation. There's only one sin that will cost you your salvation, and that is unbelief. There is only one sin that will send you to hell, and that's unbelief. Jesus said that all manner of sin would be forgiven, except the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. That's not a license to sin, that's just the truth. So the danger of sin is that it hardens your heart, and I'd like to prove that to you. You can just listen if you want to, but I'm going to give you three scriptures that I will turn the pages. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12. Hebrews 2, verse 12. And listen to what sin can do, if I can find Hebrews. Okay, here it is. I'm sorry, it is chapter 3, verse 12. I apologize. Chapter 3, verse 12. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Sin can deceive you. And if you begin to practice it, like, oh, but you start practicing, have sexual immorality with somebody. I'll keep it secret. Your faith is being destroyed by doing that. Your faith is being destroyed. So that it's hurting your faith. Sin is destructive and it is deceitful. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 21. It says this. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to bring you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith. You have to continue in your faith. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. And one more that I think is really important to this, to what I believe, and that is Jude, last book in the Bible next to Revelation, Jude, verse 5. Jude, verse 5. It says, though you already know this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who what? Did not believe. Let me read that again. I want to remind you, the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt. Who did he destroy? He destroyed those who did not believe. You start to live in sin, you are living in unbelief. You don't want to do that. And then I like Jude verse 24. To him who's able to keep you from falling. So keep that verse in mind and present you. Who's going to keep you? That's going to be God. God will keep us. God loves us. Christ has died for us. But we are warned from Israel's history not to do things that constitute unbelief. And so he goes on to say in verse 11, these things were examples and warnings for us. And then it says, if you think you're standing firm, be careful you don't fall. So we don't want to be arrogant. We want to be fear and trembling, you know. And it says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. That's, you know, if something tempts you, it's probably tempted somebody else too. Oh, you're the only person that could ever think such a horrible thought. No, somebody else has. We all have the same sin nature. We have the ability, similar sin natures. We all have a temper, we all have, you know, bodily passions, we all have various things. And so all have sinned. No temptation will come to you that is not common to man. You don't have the disease all by yourself. Everybody has. It says, but God is faithful. When you are tempted, he will provide a way out. The way out is like in the Greek, it's like you're surrounded by mountains, but there's a way out. There's a little opening. So you take that way to get out. Temptation. Temptation is, Satan is described as the tempter. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, Paul said, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless. So he was afraid that they had been tempted by Satan. Yes, it is noisy here, but I have good lungs, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 3 describes the temptation of money, which is interesting. I'm just talking about temptation and how to avoid temptation. 1 Timothy chapter 6, actually. 1 Timothy 6, verse 9. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered what from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. So here's an example. Let's just say your temptation is money. If you follow that temptation, you just yield to it, you're gonna wander away from the faith. Your temptation, okay, I'm gonna follow that path of money. And what happened to your faith? Well, I'm too busy. I don't fellowship anymore. So the idea is not to let temptation take you on the wrong path. And again, it all comes back to continue in the faith. Stay close to Jesus. And then one more in Hebrews 12, 14. I'll just read it to you. It says, without holiness, no one will see God. We are to be God's holy people. So, Pastor, when tempted, there's a way out. What is the way out, Pastor? I only know of one way out, and his name is Jesus. The way out is Jesus. You just confess your sin. If Lord, I'm confess my sin. I struggle with this and that. I fail. And just, Jesus, keep me close to you. Forgive me. Wash me. And he does. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. There's no way to the Father but through me. And where sin abounds, grace doth more abound. God accepts you. God forgives you because of your faith in Jesus Christ. So these warnings are against things that would take us away from the faith. And if you realize, well, but Pastor, I sin every week. So do I. But my way of escape is Jesus. And I hope in him and his great and precious promises. So a chapter of warning to continue to walk with the Lord. Verse 14. The sun is now coming my way. I'm going to follow the cloud like they did. You know, here we go. Follow the tree. Okay, verse 14. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourself. Excuse me. Judge for yourself what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we are giving thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation of the body of Christ? Because there's one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Do I mean that a sacrifice offered to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and a table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he? So Paul is saying, you guys, I don't want you to go to that idol where the idols are just to get the meat. The idol is nothing, and the meat is just food, but the pagans are offering that animal to a false god. And I don't want you to have for dinner that which is being offered. So he says, and so he's really encouraging them not to partake in that meat, not to use that freedom. It's interesting. I covered this last week. It's interesting to me that an idol is associated with a demon. And as I said last week, Satan can empower that idol, which is nothing. He can make it seem to have power. And you'll see in the Old Testament, I don't have the chapter for you right now, but it talks about and it's in Psalms also, that they were worshiping idols. They were worshiping goat demons or some little weird thing like that. So we are not to have idols. We are not to follow idols. We talked about that really last week. And so verse 23, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. You might make a note in your margin there that there's one other reference to everything is permissible, and that's in chapter 6, verse 12, 1 Corinthians 6, 12. Here's what Paul says. You can do anything. It's all good. It's all permissible. But ask yourself, is it beneficial? If the thing you want to do benefits you, you're free to do it. Is it constructive? Is it good for the kingdom of God and good for others? Then you're free to do it. Has it mastered you? Are you so addicted to it that it owns you? He says, other than that, you know, you're free. I believe that we have great Christian liberty. I believe that we don't walk by a set of Levitical rules for our righteousness. And what we eat, what we and so forth, are matters of great freedom for the believer, so long as it is beneficial, constructive, and it hasn't mastered you. In verse 25, he says, eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Eat anything. Yesterday, we had steak here. You see that in the park a lot. They create their own little space with rap music. It's cool. You can do it with Christian music. If you're a vegetarian, that's fine. Remember, our beloved brother Anton was a vegetarian. I miss him. He died on Christmas Day. And he had a great influence on my life. But I'm a carnivore. The Bible says it's okay to eat meat. And he said, don't ask any questions when you eat of the meat. In verse 27, if some unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising questions of conscience. But if anyone says to you, this meat has been offered in sacrifice, then don't eat it, both for the sake of the man who's told you and for conscience sake. The other man's conscience, I mean, not yours. Why should my freedom be judged by another man's conscience? If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. There's a free statement. You know, whatever you do, just do it for God's glory. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, the church of God, even as I try to please everybody in every way, for I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So Paul says, look, if you're going to eat, you're going to drink, do it for the glory of God. And he goes, and I try and please everybody in every way. I'm going to read real quick Romans 14. We're just about done. 5-minute warning, okay? Romans chapter 14, it also describes about food. And eating, whether you should eat meat and all those kind of things. Romans 14, verse 13. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. That's Romans 14, 13. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I'm fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards himself as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you're no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy your brother, for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves God, Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. So what's Paul been talking about in chapters 8, 9, and 10? He's saying, you have liberty, but don't let your liberty stumble somebody else. Remember last week, chapter 8, verse 1, knowledge puffs up, makes me proud. I know that I'm free to eat anything, but love builds up. I know that if I do that, it might stumble you, so I'm not going to do it. I might have freedom if I'm on my own, but I'm not going to stumble you. So it comes back to putting love first. But actually, eating and drinking is not what heaven is about. It's about righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy. And one more thing, and then I'll wrap up. Paul says, verse 33, I try to please everybody in every way. The goal is to please other people, but comparison scripture, Galatians 1:10 says, am I now trying to please men? If so, I'm not a servant of Christ. So I want to please you. And if it makes you spiritually strong, I want to try and please everybody. But if it means compromising something Jesus has told me to do, no. In that case, we are first and foremost God pleasers and then men pleasers. And you can do both in matters of Christian liberty. Well, next week, actually, I was prepared to do chapters 10 and 11, but I'm not going to do it. Next week, if you're here, I hope you will be, in chapter 11, we have a very interesting chapter about wearing head coverings for women and men not growing their hair too long. And, you know, man being under Christ and woman under man. I'm going to use that, I think, to talk a little bit about marriage and about God's order. And it's, don't worry, women, we're going to uphold you. You are co-heirs with us guys. But God has a beautiful order, and we'll talk about next week. And then we'll talk about the Lord's Supper, how in taking the Lord's Supper, you can be healed. And then we're going to be coming up in chapter 12, I'm looking forward to, on spiritual gifts. You know what your spiritual gifts are? You know what gifts God has given you? Are you using those gifts to serve the Lord? These are things that are ahead of us. But for today, we are warned against unbelief. We are warned against grumbling and against sin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we love your word and we want to digest it and hide it in our heart. I thank you that we are under grace, that we are under liberty, and yet we don't want to use that liberty to stumble others. We want to love one another. So Father, help us to have a good understanding of the word, to be strong in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray for spiritual health for everyone. And I pray that this little church would grow. We would see new faces. Thank you for Don and Susanna being with us today. And I pray you'd begin to bring back some of the old faces as everybody gets vaccinated. And Lord, that we would just grow to be a healthy, loving church. And you might allow us to impact the world around us here in Chico and Butte County. So have your way with little CIF. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you that you're for us, not against us. While we were yet sinners, you died for us. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. We worship you. Fill us anew with the Holy Spirit. Bless your people with a wonderful week ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.